Hello and welcome to Let's Talk Warwickshire, a podcast talking about all things Warwickshire and the people who make a difference here.
Hello and welcome to Let's Talk Warwickshire, a podcast brought to you by Warwickshire County Council. Each month a different theme will be covered to show how we're working together to make Warwickshire the best it can be. In this podcast, we'll be talking about staying well this winter with Dr. Shade Egbula, Director of Public Health for Warwickshire County Council. Hello.
Hi, Gil.
Hi, how are you?
Not too bad, thank you.
And staying well in winter, how different is that from staying well in summer? Because presumably we want to stay well all year round, don't we?
Yes, winter presents a slightly different set of challenges because it's darker, it gets really dark early, 4 or 5 is already dark. The weather is colder, that means people are less likely to remain outdoors and stay indoors. And that comes with its own risks, especially when you think about what happens in relation to infections like flu, like COVID. So yes, it is more important at this time of the year to stay well.
And of course, we have the cost of living crisis at the moment in terms of people's worries about putting their heating on. But presumably, if you don't put your heating on, that can cause issues with damp and so on.
You can, yes. So, and while we do recognise the cost of living crisis and the sort of anxiety that people have around putting on their heating because of how much it's going to cost, but there are negative implications of not using your heating when it gets really cold because, yes, it does cause damp housing. And then if you've got younger children, having homes that are quite cold is not really good for them. So it is important to maintain a proper temperature in the homes.
You talk about the fact that it obviously gets darker earlier in the winter. What kind of impact does that have on our mental health?
It impacts people differently and to different degrees and different extents. For some people, it does impact them quite a lot because when it gets darker earlier, that means you're not staying out as longer. That means opportunities to interact with family and friends might be fewer, and that might start to impact our mental health. So what I would say is, yes, it's getting darker, yes, it's getting colder, but people need to really pay attention to their mental health and well-being. The things that lift your mood and that improves your mental health and well-being that you are used to doing, and it will be different for different people, it's quite individual, try and go back to those things and try as much as possible to engage in those activities. So even if it's just going for a walk, yes, it might be cold outside, a jacket, sweaters, a hat, gloves. Just a 15-20 minute walk sometimes can do some magic in terms of improving a person's mood.
And what about people's physical health in terms of what we eat, what we drink and so on?
More important during winter to stay hydrated because I notice personally that I don't get thirsty during winter, so I have to remind myself all the time that I need to drink. And it doesn't have to be water. Personally, I don't really like water. I find it boring. So I drink teas, herbal teas, unsweetened herbal teas whilst working from home. I make sure that I go through several cups of tea. So remain hydrated during winter is actually very, very important. Eating properly as well. It is quite tempting when it gets really cold and dark outside to just go on a junk food binge. Really, really tempting, but that's not good. Need to bear in mind the importance of good nutrition and eat healthily. We all know the basics. That's the 5 portions of fruits and veg. Try to make as many nutritious meals as possible. Try to cook from scratch as best as you can. Really important during winter.
And cooking from scratch is actually a skill that many of us have forgotten because it's so easy to buy prepared and ready meals, isn't it?
Yeah. And that's a real shame. But there are, YouTube videos, for example, for anything that you want to cook. I tend to use them if I want to try something new. There's loads of videos available online, step-by-step instructions, recipes. I have gone on BBC Food several times to look at what's available on there, especially when my kids get bored with cooking the same thing over and over again every night. So yes, whilst it's a skill that lots of people have lost, there is a lot of information online that describes a range of foods. And it doesn't matter what your preference is, from vegetarian to vegan to meat eaters, you would always find something that you can cook from scratch.
Talk to us about illnesses and the sort of illnesses we get in the winter. You were in charge of the COVID program for Warwickshire. What lessons did you learn from that?
winter-related illnesses, especially COVID, I mean, we knew a lot about COVID by the time we were coming out of it, they thrive when we shut our windows, especially respiratory infections. So windows are shut, not a lot of fresh air coming into our homes. Those sort of infections will thrive. So what I would recommend is that people try as much as possible to open the windows at several times during the day. Yes, some cold air might come in, but even if just for a couple of minutes, just to let out some of the air inside the house. As it relates to flu and to COVID in particular, the vaccine is still here, it's still very much available. If you have not had all of the doses, I know a lot of people have had at least one dose, but not everybody has had a second dose, not everybody has had a third dose, and there's an autumn booster dose that is available for people that are in certain eligible groups. So people over the age of 50 are able to get an additional dose of the COVID vaccine and the flu vaccine. So children as well, eligible for the flu vaccine. So all of these are things that people can do to keep themselves safe during this winter and prevent illness, because you don't want to add a respiratory illness to everything else that's going on within the current context.
And what about contracting things like flu or COVID off other people? What's your advice? Is it still, you know, wash your hands, use tissues that you can throw away and so on?
Yeah, still the same. So, I mean, the principles of hands, face, space, they're still very, very applicable. Wash your hands regularly. During COVID, we went on and on about if you wash your hands when you step out of the house and you return. So that's a good time to remember to wash your hands. Tissues, binning tissues immediately when you use them, and giving each other space, especially when you're in a crowded environment. So that's what it means. So you go into a shop that is quite crowded. You try as much as possible to maximize the space that's between you and other people. Face covering is no longer mandatory, but I still see some people wearing them. If it makes you feel more comfortable, especially when you're in a crowded space, please use your face covering if it makes you feel comfortable. There's nothing wrong with trying to protect yourself. These principles still work, and I will encourage people to take advantage of them.
Now, you come from a medical background. Just tell me, why did you go into public health? Why is it so important to you personally?
Yeah, I started to become quite interested in public health when I developed that really good understanding of prevention. As a medic, you're trained in medical school to treat illnesses, and that's all you spend your career doing. But very early on, I realized that a lot of illnesses were preventable. So why do people fall ill in the first place? Why do I have to see this person after they developed diabetes, for example? And that is why I decided to go into public health. Obviously, public health is bigger than prevention. And prevention is not just about stopping people from getting ill in the first place. There are aspects to prevention that are about, oh, after somebody's developed a particular illness, how can I ensure that they don't get worse? So the example of diabetes, for example, somebody is already diabetic, has developed diabetes. How do I ensure that they don't develop diabetic eye disease or diabetic foot disease? And that is what we know as secondary prevention. So that is why I went into public health, to stop people from falling ill. And once they fall ill, to ensure that they don't get worse and they can live life to the fullest, really.
When you talk to people about prevention, do you think that people really understand how important that is?
I'd like to think they do. I think people do. If they don't, we will not have seen the numbers of people that smoke cigarettes falling over the last several decades or so. That number has come down significantly. I mean, in the 60s, 70s, we had smoking prevalence about 40, 50% nationally. Now, I think national prevalence is about 11% nationally. I mean, you've got areas in the country that are higher than that, but it has fallen. And that's an example and a testament to the fact that people do get the prevention agenda. They get the concepts. We've seen a reduction in people that purchase high sugar, high fat foods as well. That's, people get those messages. They respond to those messages. Lots of people now engaging in physical activity. Again, that's about prevention. The more physical activity you do, the lower your risk of developing a range of diseases and illnesses. So yes, I do think people understand it.
When it comes to COVID, do you think that it is here to stay? Because people have been surprised that they've got it once, twice, and perhaps even three times, and we're still hearing of cases.
Yeah, it's difficult to tell. I mean, pandemics behave differently. With this one, we'll probably get to a point where it becomes something like it was declared in March, April this year, something we have to live with. But I suppose the good thing is we have identified strategies to reduce your risk of catching it. And if you do catch it, you reduce your risk of going into hospital and being seriously ill from it. So all of the hands, face, space principles, and then getting vaccinated such that if you get it, it will just feel like a really bad cold and you'll recover after a couple of days. So it's not as much as about worrying whether it is here to stay. There are a lot of diseases that keep circulating every year. It is about how do I protect myself and my family and ensure that even if I do get it, I don't get severely ill from it and I can recover.
And one of the messages I know that Warwickshire County Council would like to get out there is for people to check on family, check on friends, check on those who live alone.
Yeah, absolutely. It's quite easy, especially at this time of the year, to not see people, to not see neighbours, because it gets dark really quickly. Everybody gets into their homes. It's too cold. Just stay indoors. Really, really important to be more intentional about checking in on relatives, on friends, on neighbours, especially elderly neighbours, who sometimes might forget to drink water, for example. Really, really important to do this.
If you look on the internet, there's lots of advice, some good, some absolutely awful, isn't there? You'll know.
Yeah.
Let's have a little go at a true or false kind of quiz, really. So, here we go. Bust some of these myths for us. You can get a cold from being outside for too long. True or false?
I'll say that's false, because a cold, in the real sense of the word, is caused by a virus. So, yes, whilst you can become uncomfortable from being outside for too long, a cold is actually caused by an organism which you can contract by being in contact with somebody or being close to somebody that has got it by touching a surface that the droplets have settled on. And that's how you get a cold.
You shouldn't exercise in the cold.
That's false. You can exercise at any time. Even better to exercise in the cold, because then you warm up quite easily and you warm up really quickly. And I find personally when I exercise in the cold, I leave home with a jacket and halfway through the exercise, I'm taking off the jacket because I've warmed up quite well. So yes, you should by all means exercise if you're able to outdoors.
A hot drink will help warm you up.
That's true. Hot drinks. I did talk about having herbal teas throughout the day. They do warm you up. Is it quick, easy way to get heated up really quickly.
This is an interesting one because I remember always being told wear a hat when you go outside. You lose most of your body heat through your head.
It's quite interesting. I don't think that's true. I don't know where that came from.
Presumably people who sell hats.
Possibly. That's the hat maker's agenda, I think. I don't think that's correct, no. Lose your body heat from all over. The most important thing is just to ensure that when you're stepping out on the cold day, you have all the right tools. You have got your gloves, your hat, a coat, a scarf. I tend to find that once you've got something wrapped around your neck, it just keeps you warm for longer. I don't think you lose your body heat through your head, no.
Vitamin C prevents colds.
That's false. Vitamin C might shorten the length of time that you have a cold, because vitamin C boosts your immune system. And when you have a stronger immune system, even if you catch a cold, you might not feel as poorly from it. But taking massive doses of vitamin C may not prevent the virus from getting into your body.
Sunscreen is just as important in the winter as in the summer.
Absolutely true. The fact that the sun is not being felt as strongly in the winter doesn't mean that his rays are any less dangerous. And the reason why we use sunscreen is to prevent against those ultraviolet rays. So sunscreen is just as important in the winter.
We talked about hot drinks earlier. What about drinking alcohol to warm you up?
That's false. I don't even have to think about that one.
What does it do then if you drink alcohol in cold weather?
It might just relax you a bit, but it not necessarily warms you up. And I would think, I mean, will depend on the type of alcohol, but I will not be recommending drinking alcohol to warm you up. If you want to warm up, get a cup of tea.
The flu vaccine gives you the flu.
That's false. It doesn't.
We need more sleep in the winter.
That's neither here nor there. Not necessarily true. The amount of sleep you need does not depend on weather patterns or seasonal variation. The amount of sleep you need helps you and supports your overall mental health and well-being. So recommendation between 7 to 9 hours a night, if you can get it in. It doesn't matter what time of the year it is. You don't necessarily need more sleep in the winter.
And finally, you should follow the rule, starve a cold and feed a fever.
I think that's false. I don't know where that came from again as well. I'll say that's false.
Okay, that's lovely. Sade Agbule, Director of Public Health for Warwickshire County Council, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Let's Talk Warwickshire.